picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being, because we have a very special guest. We have Alex Jones. And Alex, thank you so very much for being with us.
Dr. Monteith, it's good to be here.
Well, I thought maybe we could talk about a couple of things. First of all, I sat down and I watched through the latest version of your video on the Bohemian Grove, and I think that is one of the greatest things I've ever seen. In fact, we're going to carry that. And then, of course, I understand you have a new program coming out as well.
Sure. I just completed my new documentary, The Order of Death, about 6 months ago, and it's a 45-minute documentary. We got new footage inside Bohemian Grove, shot last year by an employee, inside the owl, up close to the human effigy of a child that they burn. And then we combined that with the original Dark Secrets inside Bohemian Grove, re-edited, updated it, increased the quality, brought it up to speed, because I had made that back in 2000, just a few weeks when I got back. So I took my time and made the Bohemian Grove film in about 6 months. And so it's really a top-notch DVD now. It's got both The Order of Death, the new film, and the re-edited, remastered film on the same DVD. And it's titled The Order of Death, Dark Secrets Inside, DVD combo that we have at Infowars.com. And now my newest film, I think the best film I've ever made, is now just being released yesterday, and that is Terror Storm. And in that, we just use all the declassified, admitted U.S. government examples of where they've carried out terror attacks to blame it on foreign enemies. And then from there, we look at the London bombing, and then we go to Crawford, Texas, and explore how the war was staged and show all of that fixing of intelligence and the White House memo, the Downing Street memo. And we spend the last 30 minutes with the latest information on 9/11, looking forward to the next attack and trying to stop the next attack orchestrated by these individuals. So the new film Terror Storm is my best work, and people can watch it online at prisonplanet.tv for 15 cents a day. It's a membership to pay for the bandwidth, prisonplanet.tv, or get a hard copy on DVD from Infowars.com.
Well, we're certainly looking forward to seeing that one as well. Now, since I haven't seen that one, let's talk a little bit about the Bohemian Grove and, of course, the significance of this sacrifice that they have. You know, every year, here are all these leaders of the world. They're getting together, and they're going to sacrifice care. And, you know, it is obvious it has tremendous spiritual significance. I wonder if the average person who really is there understands what they're doing.
I don't think they do. In fact, back in 2000, I was the first person, I've been told by Time, now we have a news source that works there that got us video last year, and by the way, this year as well, going to be getting us video coming up in just a few weeks, so we can talk about that when we get back, exactly what the Bohemian Grove is, how it ties into Skull and Bones.
And, of course, there is an occult underground, and it involves some of the key people in our government. And when you tell people that, their eyes glass over, because this really couldn't be true. All of these significant people couldn't be attending these terrible ceremonies where, in fact, in my opinion, is what they're really doing is sacrificing God every year. Because if you destroy God, then you have freedom, and that's really what they're talking about. They're going to have a sacrifice every year. They do exactly the same thing, so that they can be free and free of all inhibitions. And the things that go on there at the Bohemian Grove are pretty grotesque. We'll be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our special guest this afternoon is Alex Jones. And of course, he has his own talk radio programs. He does great programming all across America. He's well known, but he also puts out some great videos. And we're actually going to be carrying his latest update on the Bohemian Grove. And then he has a new one. We'll be talking more a little bit more later on. But his video on the Bohemian Grove is a compilation, not simply of the original one he did in 2000, but he's updated this with new footage, and really tried to put into its spiritual significance exactly what's going on, because I think Alex, as well, better than anybody else, demonstrates that behind everything that's going on, there are these powerful occult forces. Would that be a fair statement, Alex?
Oh, yes, Doctor, there is. There are these incredibly powerful occult forces in our world today, and this is how they come together. This is their sacrament. This is what binds them together. It's what they believe in. And they believe that they get power, from being involved in the occult, hence the word occult meaning secret. Look at our whole society, run by the secret societies.
And of course, Bohemian Grove is simply one of the many secret societies. They seem to interlock. This is a place where the people from the Council on Foreign Relations get together with the people from the Bilderbergers, get together with the people from the Skull and Bone Society, and from so many of these other societies. And of course, they have, in fact, at one point you even quoted David Gergen, who is a former counsel for the White House, for the Clinton administration, even though he was a Republican.
He was the Karl Rove of at least four administrations.
And what was his remark? At least I didn't want to keep running around naked with the rest of them. What was that remark?
Well, sure. There's a Washington Times article from back in the early 1990s when he joined the Clinton team, and Republicans kind of criticized him and said, oh, look, he resigned from the Bohemian Grove. And he said, look, I don't run around in the woods naked like the rest of you, kind of his comment back at them. And so, at the RNC, Republican National Convention, in 2004, I was walking down the street and saw David Gergen going into Madison Square Garden. And so I walked up to him, and I asked him if he'd talk to us, and I just said, I saw you in a Washington Times article saying you didn't run around naked in the woods like they did.
And boy, he was sure embarrassed at that.
Well, he said, I don't want to talk about it. And then I said, well, what about the rituals? And he said, none of your believing business. He got right in my face. When I told him I was the guy that snuck in, he got really mad and started poking at me. He's almost 7 feet tall. And he was leering over me, kind of menacing me. And, yeah, that's really dynamic footage. That's
hold that thought right there. We'll be back in just a minute here with Alex Jones. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Alex Jones, and we're talking about this great video footage that he has. And actually, David Gergen, of course, is a member, as I remember, he's a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, but he was a Republican in the Clinton administration, but he's one of the movers and shakers. And of course, apparently he had resigned from the Bohemian Grove and was quoted in the Washington Times as saying, well, I didn't want to run around naked like these other guys, referring to the Republicans who belong to the Grove. And when you asked him about running around naked at the Bohemian Grove, and of course that's the whole idea. You go there and you do away with all the inhibitions. They bring in their girls and their boys for heterosexual or homosexual sex. Anything goes, and you run around naked. And he was a little offended at that when you asked him about it. But you were simply quoting from the Washington Times article, which you show.
Yeah, he got mad and told me it was none of my business and began poking at me and really blew up, and that's in my film, The Order of Death, the latest film that I just released.
And, of course, you have some wonderful footage of the occult ceremonies outside the Grove. Of course, they're protesting what's going on inside the Grove, and here you got the outside occultists protesting what's going on with the inside occultists.
Well, that's the interesting thing, is that right after I snuck into the Bohemian Grove on July 15th, 2000, almost 6 years ago, it'll be 6 years in just about 2 weeks. Right after I got out, some of the local protest activists, liberal hippie groups, got real mad and said, you shouldn't bring up the occult. It's not about the occult. It's the policies they're setting. That's what's bad. There isn't any occult. You're a kook. And then some of those very same groups, and I show this in The Order of Death, some of the very same organizations that were criticizing myself, 2 years after I snuck in, we sent a cameraman out there. I wasn't there that year, but we sent a cameraman there to cover the, quote, big protest. And the actual leaders of the protest, several hundred of them, took over the road. The police encircled them, allowed them to do it. They got a cauldron out, had a witch stirring it, danced around it, tried to literally put power into their hands and then fire it into the grove, sending spirits in. And it's all on video in my new film, The Order of Death. And then, so I was trying to illustrate there, you know, why they, how pervasive this stuff is and why they criticized me for showing the occult nature of the Bohemian Grove. The very people criticizing me were doing this because they're occultists themselves.
And, of course, I think, really, the key to this whole video are the pictures you have of the ceremony where, supposedly, theoretically, there, they're burning this make-believe effigy. And, of course, it doesn't appear to be a real human being, at least as far as we know. It's some sort of a mock-up. But every year they have this mock human sacrifice, complete with the screams. And, of course, as they have the footage they have there. It's just tremendous.
I've been there for that event. I've talked to the employee who works there. They take it deadly serious while they're doing it. And these are predominantly the heads of industry, the heads of banking, the heads of academia, the heads of government. And it's probably 70% conservative, 30% liberal leaders, so it's predominantly conservative. And if your pastor, your Baptist preacher, your Catholic priest was, you know, just for fun burning children in effigy, they'd probably be committed. But our, quote, Christian conservative leaders do this, and it's okay. And there's no debating the fact that George Bush Sr. and Jr. and then Jr.'s grandfather, Prescott, went there. There's no doubt that Nixon and Reagan, all these other big luminaries, go there. One of the key pieces of evidence we have in both the films that go together on one DVD, the Order of Death DVD, the original film and the new film, one of the key aspects of all of this, one of the key pieces of evidence, was Helmut Schmidt, German chancellor, and back in the late 80s, he wrote his autobiography, Men and Power, as a political retrospective, and in that he says the Bilderberg Group runs the CFR and the Trilateral Commission, it is setting up world government, and then he goes on to talk about how he loves the druidic rituals they do in Germany, but his favorite place to do the rituals every summer, he never misses it, he says, is Bohemian Grove in Northern California.
And I think so important. These are druidic ceremonies, frankly druidic, frankly occult ceremonies. This is not make-believe. This is very real. The same sort of thing they do at Stonehenge and at their sacred sites throughout the world.
Well, let me be specific about this. I'm not saying that they're beheading some child and sopping rags in the blood, but that's one of the favorite modes of black magic practitioners is they'll actually make a whole bunch of effigies up. I just learned this in the last few years. They make a bunch of effigies up with rags tied to wiring or wire or wood, and then they use the blood, the ashes, the essence of the previous sacrifice over and over again. And there are four different effigies in the grove. One that they bring out with these men in black robes to the boat. Then Death brings the boat across the River Styx, the small pond. Then they take that, they burn it, there's some other effigy involved in something. One of them is a bunch of black rags tied to the effigy of about a 3-foot-tall person, say a 4-year-old. And so it is very, very suspicious, and the whole thing stinks to high heaven.
Now, I was at a conspiracy conference up in Santa Clara already a few weeks ago, and the young man who shot that other footage for you was there and told me about it. In fact, he gave me a copy of the latest version of the Bohemian Grove, and that's how I happened to see it and why I was really so impressed. Now, did he shoot any new footage of the ceremony there, the sacrifice of care?
He did shoot some video, but it just really wasn't usable.
Okay.
You know, I shot footage from a little breast belt pack I had, and it still was, you know, decent. We were able to blow it up and have it up close. But the footage that that unnamed individual shot, it was all great inside the cloakroom, inside the yowl, the effigy up close, inside the chalet, some of the key encampment buildings where the Manhattan Project and the Star Wars Project were launched and hatched. A lot of, you know, big global decisions are made there, but the footage he shot of the ritual was just basically out of focus lights.
Well, that's really a shame. But anyway, the footage you have, I don't know how you've doctored it, but it is so easy to see everything that's going on there. And here,
well, all I doctored it. We never changed any of the actual footage. I mean, here I am at 100 and some yards away with a video camera, and so the entire ritual probably, you know, let's say you've got a 27-inch TV shed, the entire ritual probably made up 10 inches of it, so all we did was blow the video up to that 10 inches where that fills the screen. You know, kind of like you crop a photo and zoom in on it. That's all we did with the computer.
Well, you did a great job on it, and you can actually see and hear all these leaders of the world with their black hoods and black robes and marching around with lighted torches. I mean, what sort of madness is this? And yet this is a throwback to the ancient Druidic ceremonies that are still take place in Stonehenge today.
The incredible thing is that the Grove does not deny I did this. You know, back in 2000, I got the footage. Then World of Wonder, Channel 4 UK, bought it. They made their own Secret Rulers of the World documentary, a five-part series. And it aired on national U.S. television many, many times, over a dozen last time I checked. And at the end of the film, they have a statement from the Grove saying, yes, Mr. Jones shot this video, but his interpretation is different than ours. So I've run into a lot of talk show hosts, a lot of people when I'm on who are adversarial, Dr. Monteith, and they say, Alex, you're making this up. You could have shot this in your backyard. And I'm like, excuse me, this is all mainstream news articles in the film, documents. The Grove admits that I snuck in and got this footage. Now I have footage shot by one of their employees up close. And again, that's in my film, The Order of Death.
And I think what's really so important is the symbolism from their point of view. They've every year they have this mock human sacrifice. In fact, you even show the cover of the program they send out, showing the flames and then this little figure, looks like a little child,
just
a skeleton
and
of a child.
Programs from other years, it will be an owl stomping on a small human with blood running out. I mean, it's always a little person being burned or stomped.
And of course, there's this 40-foot owl, and of course, this is so important in occult folklore. The owl is an occult emblem, isn't it?
Well, yes, and then, of course, people say, well, you say it's Moloch. Moloch was a bull. Actually, Moloch, or the different names that this deity had, it had a whole slew of them, had different names and was worshipped in different guises in different areas. The Greeks worshipped the owl long before it was the goddess of wisdom, and that has a particular Greek name. The Babylonians had a name. Of course, then we have some of the Canaanites who worshipped it as a bull, but it's always worshipped the same. Throwing children into the owl or in front of the owl or into the arms of the bull. Since then, I've had a lot of time to really study the occult, study even the mainstream manuscripts, and interview a lot of even secular experts, professors on the occult, as well as theologians from a Christian perspective, that, of course, is my perspective. And it's the same thing. So this is basically the bisexual hermaphrodite god that generally in its manifestation appears in the female guise as an owl, and then appears as some type of horned male god in the other guise, but both are similar. And we see this throughout the occult, where the higher level deities, you know, have the duality.
And I think that people have to understand, why would the leaders of the world all get together, or so many of them get together once a year up there in Santa Rosa at the Bohemian Grove? Well, of course, they all are thinking the same way. I mean, what a wonderful way to get together to begin to actually, of course, make many decisions, the major decisions for the future of the world. And you don't really think that Congress and the Senate make the decisions that run our country. These decisions are made by very powerful men who actually own most of the people in Congress. I mean, who puts up $200 million for President Bush or for John Kerry? You know, you certainly don't get that sort of money out unless you expect to get something in return, or tens of millions of dollars to get senators, $60 million, I think, to get Senator Feinstein elected here in California. You expect to get something when you put out, and of course, I believe in Washington, D.C. today, we have some of the finest people that money could buy. We're going to be back in just a moment with Alex Jones, and we'll be talking a little bit more about the Bohemian Grove video, and then we'll be talking about his latest video, because behind everything that's going on today are powerful occult forces. Well, Alex, certainly you stirred up a nest of hornets when you actually made that video, and I think that you sort of embarrassed a lot of the people in the Bohemian Grove. They weren't very happy with you, were they? Alex? Alex, have we lost you? Oh, I think Alex probably thinks we went to a break, so we'll have to talk until he gets back here. But we actually were so impressed with this video that we actually are going to be carrying it ourselves. In fact, my son was watching the film with me, and he says, you know, if you look at the dollar bill, why up there on the back of the front of the dollar bill in the upper left right hand corner on the inside, why there's a little tiny owl, and there really is. If you have a magnifying glass, you can see it. And so I took that dollar bill and I turned it upside down, looking at the right side, but it was upside down. And if you look very carefully with a magnifying glass, you see 6-6. Well, of course, you never see just 2 sixes. There always got to be a third one. And so he searched this with magnifying glass, and sure enough, there it is, 666 on the front of the dollar bill, not on the back of the dollar bill, but on the front of the dollar bill. They hide these things every place. In fact, they've been actually attacking, vandalizing churches here in my community recently, and scratching on the wall, 666. That is the emblem of the Trilateral Commission, headed by David Rockefeller, that he organized. And if you look at their logo, and you can see it, if you go to their website at trilateral.org, and of course, just to go through that, you'll find, go to the page with Paul Volcker on it. Do you remember Paul Volcker? He was the chairman of the Federal Reserve System, came from the Trilateral Commission, had to resign when he became chairman of the Federal Reserve, joined it after he left, became the director of the Northern Division, Hemispheric Division of the Trilateral Commission. But if you look at his page at the Trilateral Commission, there you'll see the logo. It's a circle with 3 sixes in it, joined together in the middle by an upside-down broken cross. So these people know exactly what they're doing. They just don't want people to understand the spirits of forces behind so many of these organizations, the World Future Society, where you find people like Maurice Strong and Robert McNamara. You remember Robert McNamara. He was the Secretary of Defense who sent millions of our young men to fight and bleed and suffer and die in Vietnam, but never to have a chance to win the war. He put every barrier in the way so that there was no way they could win the war. I mean, we could have won it in 2 months. All we had to do was attack the North and either blow up the dikes or blow up the rail yards or blow up the power plants and turn off the electricity there and plunge the country into darkness. And we weren't allowed to do anything logical. Alex, are you back again?
Yes, I'm here, sir.
Okay, fine. I thought we lost you there for a minute.
No, I can't tell when these breaks are. I hear the music, and think, so I guess things have changed.
Okay, fine. Well, basically what we do is we just talk through the break, so we have a good tape afterwards, and so that people can get your thoughts, and so we don't have to...
I was ignorant of that fact. I apologize.
You don't have to apologize at all. Anyway, I was just saying that you certainly stirred up a nest of hornets when you got that video out and you began talking about the occult background of these leaders of both political parties.
Well, yes, and they went into overdrive with the spin, but, you know, a lot of other things have happened. The American people have gone from not being aware of Skull and Bones to now being aware of Skull and Bones. People weren't aware of the American Union. Now it's big news with Lou Dobbs and the Associated Press talking about it. People weren't aware of the Bilderberg Group just 6 years ago. Now it's mainstream news. So a lot of good things.
Hold that thought for just a moment. Bring our stations on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Alex was just saying that certainly, you know, in the last few years, so many people have learned, and they're beginning to hear a little bit about the American Union, and this idea to create a world government, and even a little publicity on the Bilderbergers this year, which, of course, have been totally suppressed since they were formed back in 1954. Until very recently, you would never find anything in the mainline media about this group of the most powerful men in the world, of whom David Rockefeller is one of them, and the people, the crown princes of Europe, and the bankers and the financiers of the United States and Europe, all getting together to plan our future. But even this year, a little of that even got out, didn't it?
Well, absolutely. Look, Skull and Bones, I'd talk about it 6-7 years ago, people calling and laughing at me, it didn't exist, oh, that's crazy. Now it's a household word, people don't like it. Bohemian Grove was unknown 5-6 years ago. Now a lot of people have heard about it. 5-6 years ago, again, that seems to be the number. When stuff for the breaking was around 2000, no one had ever heard of the Bilderberg Group. The New York Times would say that kooks believed in it and it didn't exist. And now they've been forced to admit that the Bilderberg Group exists. The 120 elites of the planet, Dutch, British royalty, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, all the big CEOs, the oil company CEOs. Now they've been forced to admit it exists and forced to admit that it once an American union. Now Lou Dobbs and the Associated Press admit we're going into an American union, that Bush has signed it and is pushing it through. So all of this is beginning to become revealed thanks to your work and other people's work, Dr. Monteith.
Well, I think we're just fortunate that we've got the people out. You're out there on the front lines, and some of our other friends are out there. And through the alternative radio and through the miracle of the Internet and satellite and shortwave, more and more people are beginning to come aware something's going on. And I thought certainly one of the great points in your video on the Bohemian Grove was when you had, I think that was Tim Russert, wasn't asking George Bush about about his membership in Skull and Bones?
Yes. Yes, he asked Bush and, of course, Kerry both respectively about it during the 2004 campaign. They both gave basically the same answer, that it's so secret they can't talk about it, and there's a lot of secrets, and they're not going to talk about it.
And, of course, you really want to see this on video. It's worth the cost of the video just to see how they dodge that question. They're scared to death. The last thing they want is for the American people to know that they both belong to the same secret society that, of course, has an intent to destroy America. The loyalty of the people in Skull and Bones is not to America, but to the secret oaths they've sworn. Now, it is your new video. Get into that in a lot more detail.
Are you talking about The Order of Death?
Yes, uh-huh.
Yes, it does. Again, The Order of Death is a new 45-minute film I've made with the new footage shot last year inside Bohemian Grove. It ties into Skull and Bones.
I was thinking the most recent one that you've done.
No. The most recent film I've done, Terror Storm, does not get into the occult. It gets into government-sponsored terrorism.
Okay.
And how these elites carry out terror to then scare the population into accepting their agenda for a one-world government. And the film is a little under 2 hours long. It's about 105 minutes long. And it starts by getting into the declassified admissions of where our government has carried out terror attacks as a pretext to take over nations or to have domestic police state clampdowns. And it starts with Hitler and the Reichstag, Hitler and Gleiwitz attacking their own radio station, blame it on the Polish military to then invade Poland. Then we move on to Mohammad Mossadegh, 1953, man of the year, anti-communist, kicked the communists out of his country, wanted to keep 20% of the oil money for his nation instead of letting British Petroleum have it all.
This is, of course, in Iran, 1953, right?
Yes, yes. And then Kermit Roosevelt, this grandson of Teddy Roosevelt, on the record, even wrote books about it, but it's now declassified at CIA.gov. A U.S. CIA/MI6 team carried out terror attacks, blew up mosques, shot crowds of people, killed religious leaders, and blamed it on Mossadegh as a way to overthrow him. So that was state-sponsored terror, to blame it on another government. That's declassified and admitted by our government. Then we look at the Gulf of Tonkin, where no one was killed, but the lie led to 58,000 American dead and over a million dead Vietnamese. And then, of course, we look at some other cases where the CIA blew up passenger planes, and that's now been admitted to blame it on their enemies. Then we fast forward, well, we also cover the USS Liberty, which was clearly an involvement between Israel and our government as a pretext to blame Egypt. And then we move forward, and the lion's share of the film is about the London bombing. Then at the end, we get into the latest developments on 9/11. It's my best film yet. I'm really proud of Terror Storm.
Well, of course, I'll give your wife a call, get a copy of that, and then I think we'll probably be carrying it as well. People have to understand this is what's going on in Iran today. There are uprisings in at least 4 of the provinces there in Iran, all financed with your tax money. And we're doing everything we can to destabilize the democratically elected government in Iran. We may not like them. We may not like their religion. But we're over there, and we're financing a revolution in their country. And believe me, a lot of people are being killed, and you're not hearing about it today. We'll be back in just a moment with Alex Jones talking about Terror Storm. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest is Alex Jones, and we're talking really about his latest video, which is Terror Storm, and people have to understand that these are standard operating procedures. This is how intelligence agencies work. And they kill people. They think nothing at all of assassinating people, both in this country and outside the country. I've personally talked to three government assassins. One of them was supposed to have killed Ross Perot. I don't know how many of our people remember back in, I think it was, what, 1988 when Ross Perot ran the first time. And he dropped initially out of the campaign, and he dropped out because, why? Because he said they were trying to kill him and his family, and everybody laughed at him. And I can remember Rush Limbaugh ridiculing him, and I thought it was pretty foolish, too, until I talked to Chuck Tatum, who, of course, his job was to kill Perot, and he wouldn't do it, and so he got on the outs with the intelligence agencies, and he's living in hiding somewhere in the world today. But we've got some wonderful interviews with him. Yes, they would kill Ross Perot or anybody else who got in the way. Unfortunately, we're not dealing with nice people, are we, Alex?
No, they're totally ruthless, and they think that we're weak and stupid because we're not ruthless, but really society holds together because there's good people. The elite are a criminally insane group of sadistic control freaks who are totally and completely reprobate and bloodthirsty, and that's why I produced this new film, Terror Storm, which really, without a shadow of a doubt, conclusively proves that they're a bunch of terrorists.
And, of course, the question is, you know, what really happened on 9-1-1? Certainly 9-1-1 was the excuse that was given to take us on into Afghanistan, but within 3 weeks of 9-1-1, we had launched a military attack on Afghanistan. Now, how could you possibly be ready to do that in 3 weeks unless you were planning to do it ahead of time?
Well, yes, Dr. Stan, we know they had the launch orders to attack Afghanistan on President Bush's desk 2 days before the attacks, and two carriers were in the area. 44,000 U.S. troops, 18,000 British troops were massed in the stands surrounding it. A huge six-month buildup, all prepared for the military-industrial complex strike, coup against the Republic, coup against the American people, coup against our free nation that occurred almost 5 years ago.
And, of course, the thing is, how would you get the American people to go along to be willing to go to war first with Afghanistan and then with Iraq? You had to have an incident. And we had one. It was on the 11th of September.
Well, that's what the PNAC boys even said. They said, without a catastrophic event on the order of Pearl Harbor, we're not going to get what we need. And Brzezinski said that, too. So they repeat it over and over again, and it's a life-and-death situation to expose this. We've got to expose the terrorists behind 9-11, because they're going to continue to use 9-11 to take our freedoms.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Alex Jones. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Alex Jones. And before I go on, Alex, I want you to give your website out and how people can get in touch with you and your ministry.
Sure. It's Infowars.com. That's short for Information War, Infowars.com. Or you can simply go to prisonplanet.com. We're fighting the earth being turned into a prison planet, hence prisonplanet.com. And I've also launched jonesreport.com. It's a quick loading site for people that still have dial-up, jonesreport.com. All the day's news updated 7 days a week for you there in a real simple text format. And my new film is Terror Storm. It's so important to expose the fact that our government and other governments are staging terror attacks, because 9/11 is the foundational event for the military adventurism, the police state we see domestically, and they clearly mean to carry out more terror attacks in the future to fully enslave us. And if we wouldn't have exposed 9/11 as an inside job, things would already be a lot worse right now. So it is a life and death situation to expose government-sponsored terror, because this is how they're herding humanity into the gates of hell worldwide. And my new film, Terror Storm, is available on DVD at Infowars.com. Or folks can go to prisonplanet.tv and see it in high bandwidth, medium bandwidth, low bandwidth, in Macintosh, Apple format, also PC format, and also other formats. There's three formats, three speeds, and it's only 15 cents a day to get a membership at prisonplanet.tv. And then you can download all 15 of my films and burn them to disc and give them to people. It's a great activist center. You can print off copies of my book, 9/11 Descend to Tyranny, Paul Watson's book, Order Out of Chaos, my weekly TV report, all my special reports, my video report. There's going to be about 6 hours of it up there very soon. Already an hour is. a video I shot at the Bilderberg Group meeting in Ottawa, Canada, just 2 weeks ago of my big 9/11 conference. I just had an LA of the Chicago 9/11 conference. That's already up there for members of PrisonPlanet.tv. I really can't say enough about PrisonPlanet.tv. It's such a wonderful tool as well.
Well, I think what we need is just a vehicle, you know, to get the information out. You've got to be able to live and survive, but it certainly sounds very, very economical. And I know you get people, once they've either accessed the DVDs off of your website or they've even bought them from you, why, then you give them permission to go ahead and copy them, don't you, as long as they're not making a profit?
Well, sure. That's the whole goal of this, is to warn the people about the globalists, to warn the people about their program of control. And that's why we charge 15 cents a day for the bandwidth at PrisonPlanet.tv. That allows us to pay for the webmaster and pay for the bandwidth and pay for the internet connections to upload this stuff. And then my whole goal is to get the word out, and that's what we've done. We've had a huge effect by doing this, and we intend to continue doing it.
And I think that more and more people are becoming aware that we haven't gotten the full story of what happened in 9/11, because I don't even like to talk about the Twin Towers. I like to talk about Building Number 7. Why did Building 7 come down? And you know, what are your thoughts on that? We hear a lot of stories about it, but there's no way to explain Building 7 come down. It didn't get hit by an airplane.
Well, we cover Building 7, actually, in Terror Storm, and I remember day one at 5:30 in the afternoon on 9/11, this 47-story building, not hit by an airplane, way down the street. If you've been to Ground Zero, I mean, it's way down the street. The South Tower fell directly on Bankers Trust, didn't make a collapse. It burned for days. Nothing collapsed. In Madrid last year, a building burned for almost 2 days, 100-foot white-hot flames. And after the glass fell out of it, you could even see aluminum desks that were in the center of the inferno, and they didn't melt. Jet fuel burns at around 1,200 degrees. Steel at around 2,300 begins to weaken. We know those fires were not that hot. The people were standing in the gaping wounds of the where the aircraft had hit, but were not burning. But then we're made to believe that then magically Building 7, not even hit by a plane, implodes with perfect controlled demolition, with squib blast points blasting out the side. Then Larry Silverstein, the owner, slipped up on national television a PBS documentary called America Rebuilding and said, we gave the decision that afternoon to pull the building. And then in the same documentary, they say pull means demolition. Pull means to a controlled demolition.
Well, how did Osama bin Laden get all those explosives in there, you know, so sooner? If Larry Silverstein got them in, how did they get them in that building that was on fire? Who would have taken explosive into that building to take it down?
It would have taken 10-man teams, 14 days, working straight to do each of the two big towers, and several days to do Building 7. And now we've had the steel tested. They hauled most of it off under guard, but kept a little back for propaganda uses and put it years later at these 9/11 police state parks. And we've been able to get samples. The university, Brigham Young University, and now another university is working with them, Professor Stephen Jones, they've been able to get samples of it off the columns where they were perfectly cut. And not just thermite. They saw this video of white-hot molten stuff pouring out of the sides of buildings just feet away from people that were standing there not burning, which shows that it was localized spot heat. And only thermite could create in a localized area the type of heat to do that. I remember all the aerial photos of 2,300, 2,500-degree molten steel a month and a half after in the rubble. Well, again, how does 1,200-degree jet fuel do that? And well, then we got video of this molten steel gushing and in gouts out of the sides of the building. Well, they actually got some samples, and the hypothesis was by scientists that it would be thermite. Well, it wasn't just thermite when they tested it. It was the specific patented thermite used to jacket columns that they use in controlled demolition, patented thermate. So It's just unbelievable.
I think what's so interesting is, of course, that the government would not allow anybody in when they were taking down out of the rubble. They would not allow, you know, even the people from FEMA and others that were supposed to be investigating to come up and investigate and get samples. But they, I think it's amazing that they were foolish enough to leave a few of those samples around. And thank goodness Professor Jones, who was there at University of Utah in Salt Lake City, was able to get some of it and analyze it. And I bet the government has no explanation how this thermite or thermite-like product got onto the steel.
No, even the National Standards Group that did a big report on it admits that they don't know why there's all over the column sulfur. Why, that's not in any of the reactions from jet fuel.
So obviously they took Building 7 down. If they took Building 7 down and they had to, of course, had the explosives there ahead of time, then why shouldn't we think they took down those other buildings and left the people die? And, of course, it's terrible to say, but, you know, they kept telling us initially there were 6,000 people who were dead. 6,000 people died. 6,000 people died. They didn't know that about 2,500 people escaped from the South Tower because the man in charge of security at the South Tower, at Morgan Stanley, went against what he was ordered to do, what they were ordering the people to stay at their seats, and he got
them
out.
That's been confirmed. Mainstream news that the emergency management building across the street, 7, over the loudspeakers, was telling everyone to stay at their desk. Everything was fine.
And they left those people there to die, and they, fortunately, at least with Morgan Stanley, the chief of security, got 2,500 people out. And so they had to say, oh, gee, it was only 3,000. How could we have been so mistaken? Well, their mistake was that they had a guy there who wanted to save human lives, but other people were ordering them to stay at their desk. Why would you do that? They could look out the window and see the flames of the North Tower. The people jumping out of the building, and they were ordered to stay at their seats.
Well, you're right, Dr. Stan. And then routinely, they would evacuate it for some white powder on the ground. If a janitor at one of the laundries dropped some white powder, and I've interviewed janitors that worked there, William Rodriguez and others, they would evacuate it for the smallest thing, but not that day. You got a building next to you on fire, and you're told, stay at your desk.
So anyway, I think that there's so many things, and I'm just really looking forward to seeing this new video. And if you're out there in the listening audience and you have a question for Alex Jones, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 464-8295. You know, it's not nice to think that there could be a cover-up at the national level of this magnitude. But
it's even more dangerous not to admit it to yourself and stand up against it.
Amen to that. Well, you know, we have a few people like there, like Jimmy Walters, who's done such a good job of... He invested $8 million of his own money running full-page ads in the New York Times, buying advertisements on television, and totally blocked out by the American media. But almost 50%... I think actually over 50% of the people in New York City in polls that he's financed do not believe the official government story. They know that we were lied to.
Well, you're absolutely right about that.
All right, finally, we've got Mike calling here, and the board's beginning to light up. Hi, Mike. How are you doing?
Hi, Stan. Just one question. I understand that they got a new security company, the contractor for the World Trade Center, something like 2 months before 9/11. Do you know anything about that?
Well, let me be specific.
I beg your pardon?
Let me be specific. He's asking if they got a new security company 2 months before 9/11. Back in the early 80s, Larry Silverstein bought Building 7, this big real estate magnate in New York. He only owned Building 7. Then, 2.5 months before 9/11... Larry Silverstein, who incidentally just bought the Sears Tower in Chicago, Larry Silverstein bought the entire complex for only about $180 million investment. He then took out $3.2 billion in insurance and then claimed each plane attack as a separate incident, and so has now collected over $7 billion total because he got another billion-dollar payout from the government on top of it. The security issue is that the company run by Marvin Bush, the youngest of the Bush brothers, had run security on the World Trade Center complex for the 2 years before 9/11, but their contract ended on September 10th, and John O'Neill and another company have been hired to start on September 11th.
And if anybody would like to challenge that, go up to Google and type in Marvin Bush North Tower, and you'll find out that he was working for or associated with this security.
And of course, how did we learn about this? His mother bragged in a 2002 book, her autobiography, Reflections, that her son was so brave and got stuck in the subway because he was running security, you know, there at the towers, and he worked there. And then mainstream news asked the question, wow, this is, why didn't we ever hear of this before? So mommy slipped up. It's just like German Chancellor Helmut Schmidt in his own autobiography. I mean, folks, these people just do not know how to shut their mouths.
What is the title of that autobiography of Helmut Schmidt again? Do you recall?
Men and Powers, a Political Retrospective.
All right, I certainly want to get that. Anything else you wanted to ask, Mike?
No,
God bless and thanks. Well, let's go to Chris, who's calling in from Kentucky. Chris, you have a question for Alex.
Yes, I just want to also thank him very much. You say TerraStorm is now available?
Yes, TerraStorm is now available on DVD at InfoWars.com.
Oh, fantastic. You know, I just wanted to add a question. There was a lot of the bomb-sniffing dogs and the other security forces that were taken out, and the cameras were, for some reason, not inoperative that day. The two massive cameras on top of each tower?
That's right. On the London bombing and on 9/11, they removed the big wireless cameras from the tops of surrounding areas, and they lowered security in the days before both attacks.
And you have to ask yourself, why they do anything that stupid? Or maybe it wasn't stupid at all. Maybe it was diabolically clever. Anything else, Chris?
Yeah, I just want to tell Alex yesterday, you know, we got there was some kind of a protest about the problems with the police here in Kentucky with the feds. I stood out there and I kind of gave my Infowars.com to these police out here, get their facts.
We need the police to understand that they're being used. Most of them are good people, good Americans, but when we need them to be educated too. Hey, thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you.
And thanks. And let's go to Mark, who's calling us from Las Vegas. Hi, Mark. You have a question.
Hey, gentlemen. I am a huge fan of Alex Jones. I've been a long-time listener. Going back several years, I remember listening to Alex on the very morning of September 11th. And I'll tell you one thing that we can all be encouraged about. I remember being able to call on his program, and it was never busy, and now it's always busy, and this is the only way I can actually talk to Alex. That is so encouraging. The truth sells, as Alex says, it's like selling snow cones in hell to people. And since 9/11, I tell you, Alex has really exploded. You know, so many people know who he is. That's where, you know, I'd say that most people have gained familiarity from his work he's done on 9/11, so we can all be encouraged by that. But I wanted to bring up two things. The fact that the thermite that was used at the World Trade Center, not only did they choose this, these certain compounds, but these just so happen, unlike a lot of other compounds, to be untraceable. And then also one thing about the Bohemian Grove, I noticed he had this picture of Merv Griffin with none other than Henry Kissinger, and of course we know Merv Griffin was a homosexual. I was wondering, do you have any information about like whether or not like Henry Kissinger was, I guess you could say, dating Merv Griffin? I mean, this is just freaky. This is bizarre stuff. But
Alex, do you have any comments, Todd?
Well, we've gotten some of the internal annals of the Grove since we snuck in there 6 years ago. Simply have gotten more and more wives of late Grove members, and other people have sent us these collector's item books that in some cases are thousands of dollars a piece on eBay, you know, as collector's items. And in there is George Bush Sr. and his son, the current president beneath the owl giving a speech. This is the type of stuff that we have. This is the type of stuff that you can see. And that's what's in the new film, is their own annals, their own documents, their own material. That's what's in my new film, The Order of Death. It combines with the old original documentary that we made. And, I mean, even mainstream news articles from the 80s about the Bohemian Grove, well, even Richard Nixon, I can't quote Richard Nixon, it's profane, but he said it's the most homosexual bleeping thing he's ever seen, that he can't stand it, but that's where all the elite go, so he has to go. And he told Harper's Magazine that, and for years they just had the quote in Harper's. But his library, a few years ago, off the Nixon tapes, he had a bug in the office, and on PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com, just type Richard Nixon, quote, Bohemian Grove into Google, and he just talks about how they have huge homosexual orgies in there. And you know, that fits in with Jeff Gannon. My new film covers that. You know, the male madam gay porn star going into the White House hundreds of times in the middle of the night. But it's I mean, even the New York Post back in 2005 reported that Chad Savage, top gay porn star, quotes headline, gay porn star services moguls at Bohemian Grove, And so they bus in $2,000 an hour male prostitutes. It's really not even females. They have to stay outside. There's a few of those in town. From all the reports we've gotten, it's 5-to-1 males. I guess these guys have been so powerful and so elite so long that they've lost their taste or never had their taste for women. But that's your Christian conservatism.
Well, of course, let's not call it Christian conservatism, false Christian conservatism.
Well, I'm being totally sarcastic. I mean, I myself am a Christian to understand. It's just that, you know, people say Bush is anointed and Bush is this wonderful person. Look at his fruits. I mean, you know, doubling the size of the BATF, trying to get rid of our borders and saying it's not amnesty, signing on to the UN UNESCO program, spending more money than all presidents before him combined. I mean, you know, on and on and on and on. He is not a real Christian conservative, but the dominant Christian conservative leadership, they are all for him, trying to act like he is holy.
We've got a real problem in America. Hey, look, Mark, thank you so very much for calling. Appreciate it, and we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up today's program. You hang right on there, Alex. Well, we got Alex with us for just a few minutes more, and we've got Jim calling from Santa Cruz. Jim, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Do you have a question for our guest?
Yeah, I was wondering, Alex, what your take is on George Bush's public statement that he saw the first plane hit the tower while he was at the school in Florida, and he remarked that that was one terrible pilot.
Well, then he said that he'd never said that. And then he said he'd never seen the building, and that he wasn't aware that it had been hit. And at the same time, we then got Times of London photos they released of him in the green room, indeed watching out in the school. They have the TV on the rolling cart. There's a TV on one of those carts. In fact, that's in the intro of my new film, Terror Storm. We show that.
Wow.
And there it is. Bush is in there, you know, watching on the news the smoking building. So I don't know what he meant by that. I don't know if he saw the first plane hit. I doubt it. I think it was just him fumbling and bumbling. But the point is, he did lie about it and try to claim that he wasn't aware that it had been hit until he was told by former White House Chief of Staff Andy Card. So it's just lies on top of lies on top of lies. The big thing about that school is the Secret Service will and always has and does. They went into cabinet officials' homes. Cabinet officials' offices that day, and I even talked to Morgan Reynolds, who was in one of the federal departments, Department of Labor, and he was there and saw the Secretary of Labor being drug out. I mean, there wasn't even a question. So this is the type of stuff that goes on. Why did the Secret Service stand down? Why weren't they worried? Why wasn't it a problem? I mean, we've got supposedly a bunch of other planes hijacked. For a week, Bush had announced where he'd be. It was an airport 10 minutes away, and that's from driving distance, just a few minutes away flying distance. Why didn't they care?
Yeah.
A lot of strange things happened that day, and, hopefully someday we'll really understand what happened. Anyway, Jim, thanks very much for calling. And Alex, I want to thank you so much for being with us. It's a real pleasure having you here. Do you have a parting thought for our listeners before I let you go?
Sure, Dr. Monteef. I just hope that they'll visit Infowars.com or PrisonPlanet.com. I hope they'll get my new film, Terror Storm. I hope they'll get it out to everyone in their area. The power of individuals getting these films, getting these materials, getting this interview, and getting them out to people is exponential. So the ball is really in their court. People can also call toll-free to get the video, 1-888-253-3139, either The Order of Death or the new film, Terror Storm, 888-253-3139. And Dr. Stan, it was great talking to you.
God bless you. Thanks very much, Alex.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. And, of course, that was Alex Jones. And we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty to wrap up this afternoon's program. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and we're going to be calling, handling his order of death, and that's, of course, the story of the Bohemian Grove and his Alex's Police Date 2000. We just think these are important, and, of course, Alex, once you've actually got them, he gives you permission to copy them, and we'll be carrying his new video or DVD on the Terror State. So I think the information is vitally important. We do have a great four tape set on the Bohemian Grove. We'll actually hear interviews with people who were there, a woman who was being used as a prostitute sent by the CIA, the woman who actually got Alex Jones in, and my interview with Alex Jones, talking about, about the Bohemian Grove when he went in there in the year 2000. So this four tape set's a few years old, but it's still very apropos. Behind everything going on are powerful spiritual forces. And if you watch the video, you realize, of course, that the sacrifice is really a sacrifice of God. Do away with God, and then you are free. That's the basic theme of what they do, and that's why they can have all their homosexuality and heterosexuality and promiscuity and run around naked in the forest. Now we are no longer answerable to God, and that is the theme of the leaders of the world, you see, because they worship a different God. They have a different plan, and they want to bring about a new world order and a new world religion. If you've not yet read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and or seen the video or DVD, we suggest you get that. If you're concerned about what's going to happen financially, you need to get our talk on the financial tsunami, and it comes with a syllabus, and the talk is available either on video or on VHS. And then we have a four-tape set on the coming financial Armageddon. These people are intent upon destroying the economy of our country. They know exactly what they're doing. How else can you destroy the middle class? How else can you create a situation where you have the powerful and rich and everybody else is impoverished? People say it could never happen in America. And I would ask, why not? After all, they control the reins of power. Their people are in positions of controlling the Federal Reserve System and the banking system. But even more than that, why should God continue to bless America? Do you remember those words of Thomas Jefferson? For I tremble for my country when I reflect that God is just, and his justice will not sleep forever. And so our plea to you is get the information. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know why President Bush has not sealed our borders or enforced the laws of our land, stop the people from hiring illegal aliens in this country, stop the catch-and-release program, allow the border guards to be effective, even allow the National Guard troops down on the border to carry weapons and apprehend people coming across illegally. If you'd like to know why President Bush has not done what is logical, you'll certainly want to get our May newsletter. It's just completed, and here it is halfway through June, but almost the end of June. But the May newsletter is available, and of course my June newsletter has been finished as well, so you'll want to get that. But right now, if I could make a suggestion, get our May newsletter. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. And certainly you want to get the videos by Alex, The Order of Death, and Police State 2000. And we'll have Terror Wars as soon as we can get that ordered. You want to get my talk on the financial tsunami, because you're going to have to look after yourself if you have any hope of preserving anything when that tsunami sweeps across America. My book, Brotherhood of Darkness, takes you into the spiritual forces behind what's going on. And just go to our website at www.radioliberty.com. Remember, you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day on the Internet through the links there, 4 hours a day on shortwave, and, of course, you can hear our talks. On Telstar 5, and incidentally, you can, if you're having difficulty getting Joyce Riley, she is on Telstar 5, and let me suggest you, if you need information on how to get to Telstar 5 and get one of those units, a satellite unit, who knows, I may not even be on the air too much longer. They're doing everything they can to clamp down on the truth getting out. Please pray for Radio Liberty.